You know what I hear? I hear the clock ticking. Life goes by, and it goes by quick. Don't waste those years. Don't waste them. Live them. I want you to be terrified of sitting on the sidelines and doing nothing. Waking up in 6 days or 6 weeks or 6 years or 60 years and being no closer to your goal. You've made no progress. That is the nightmare. That is what you really need to be afraid of, being stagnant. So get up and go. That idea isn't going to execute itself. That book isn't going to write itself. Those weights out in the gym, they aren't going to move themselves. You have to do it, and you have to do it now. Don't wait anymore. Don't think anymore. Don't plan anymore. Don't contemplate anymore. Don't rationalize anything else. No. Take the risk. Take the gamble. Take the first step. Take action now. No complacency. No backing off. No slack whatsoever. So do not wait. Go forward. No more waiting for the perfect moment, and no more indecision, and no more lies. Take the action. Get out of bed. Get your feet on the ground. Step forward. Give every day everything you've got. Every ounce of energy, every bead of sweat, every drop of blood until your last breath. And don't let another day slip by.
That is awesome. I'm so pumped up watching that. I've seen that so many times this week. Why are you pointing at me? We're beyond 6 feet here. We're good. Is this okay? Is this okay? Hey, I'm sorry. I'm a bit of a mover. So let's kick it off. How are we doing, Mid-Current? No one on this side is having fun. How are we doing this side, Mid-Current? Okay, still not having fun. Good. Well, hopefully that'll change. If you're new with us, I just want to personally welcome you. As Sten said, my name is James Brown, and I am one of the pastors at Cedarbrook Church, and I'm excited for this series. If you are new, you came on a great Sunday because we have merged. Renew and Eau Claire, Cedarbrook, and Mid-Current have combined together for a series called One, and we are exploring what it means to be unified, to have a single focus in a divided world that we live in right now. And I love that video we just watched because it reminds me of so many opportunities that we have in our life if we're able to just move forward. And at the same time, I hate that video as well because it reminds me that I am such a loser. I am a huge loser because I waste so much time. I mean, that video was all about not wasting time, and I am constantly reminded that I waste so much stinking time, and I imagine that some of you do as well. Have you ever thought about how much time you waste in any single day? I read a book a few years ago that gave me some statistics about what Americans do, specifically around watching television, and a few years ago, it was 20 hours a week that Americans watched television, and that stat was before COVID, right? It's totally different now. You know what it is now? Per day, it's 8 hours per day. This is a full work week committed to mindlessly watching Cobra Kai crane kicks and Michael Scott making it awkward on The Office or whatever HGTV, whatever, that you watch the newest show. In fact, they have put a television in front of me right now, and I'm watching Netflix as we're doing this. This is amazing. I can't look away. Most of us just were really good at wasting time watching television. If we're not doing that, let me give you some stats that I looked up online as well. If we're not watching and wasting time on television, we're maybe wasting time stalking people on social media. I don't know if you know how many people are on social media, but 3.5 billion daily social media users. 3.5, not million, but billion. That equates to about 45% of the entire Earth's population is daily users on social media. Facebook has 2.7 billion active users. YouTube has 1.3 billion active users. The average of 3 hours per day is spent on social media and messaging. What's also interesting is not just social media. The average internet usage user spends 6 hours plus online in 2020. And while some of that is related to whatever we're doing at work, over half, 35% of that internet time is on mobile phones, which is up 33% from last year. The average U.S. adult spends 3 hours every day on their cell phones. And I don't even want to know the stats for kids and teens. I can't even comprehend the adult numbers right now. I think we all waste time to some degree, and we just don't realize how much we do it because it's so common for us. Some people have actually tried to curb our enthusiasm around our wasting tendencies by comparing it with money. Maybe you've heard this before. It goes like this. Imagine that there's a bank that credits your account each morning with $86,400. And this bank account, it carries over with no balance from day to day. Every evening, it deletes whatever part of the balance that you failed to use during that day. If that were a reality, what would you do? Well, of course, you would draw out every cent every day. Well, each one of us has a bank. It's called time. Every morning it credits you with 86,400 seconds, and every night it writes off as lost whatever you have failed to invest wisely. It carries no balance, it allows no overdraft. Each day it opens a new account, and if you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. Now, at first glance, I think this sounds like a great analogy, right? The only problem is, if somebody were to give me $86,400 every day, and if you want to do that, I won't stop you. Don't hear me say that at all. But if someone did that every day for me, just like with time, after a while, I know me, what I would begin to do is I would begin to take that $86,400 for granted. I would, after a while, even maybe start to believe that I deserved it. I would begin to expect the money every day as if it was unlimited, as if it was never going to end. And that's not necessarily something that we should be ashamed of. That's just the way we are as human beings. It's so easy for us to forget how short life really is. But what's amazing is that God says that it doesn't have to be this way, that we don't have to waste time, that we don't have to waste our lives. We can actually learn to see it for what it really is, which is a gift from God. God says that we can understand, that we can truly understand what people say when they mean that yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. That's why they call it the what? The present, right? And I love that little poem from Kung Fu Panda. That's Master Oogway from Kung Fu Panda that dropped that truth bomb on us. And I want to live my life just like that. I want to live my life with that kind of perspective. I want to see life as it is a gift from God. I want to live my life in such a way that I make every moment matter, that I make every second count. So the question for us today is simply this: how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we live? How do we leverage? How do we use? How do we spend our time in such a way that when we get to the end of it, we have a no regret, meaningful, satisfying kind of existence to look back on? And I would assume that getting the most out of this God-given gift called life, time, it has very little to do with acquiring things like the newest iPhone, which I got, by the way, the newest iPhone, or what's even on your Netflix instant queue. I think that the answer to unlocking this present might just be something that we never even expected. So in order to unwrap this gift, I want us to do this together today, and I want to show you what I consider to be maybe one of the strangest passages in the Old Testament part of the Bible. If you happen to bring a Bible with you today, or you have a Bible app, you can open it to Psalm chapter 90. If you didn't, don't worry. We'll put those scriptures on the screen for you to follow along. But I want to take you there to this very strange passage, this strange chapter. And I say it's strange because of who wrote this psalm. This psalm was written by a guy named Moses, one of the most famous people in the whole Bible. But he's not known for writing psalms. In fact, King David, one of the first original kings of Israel, he's known for writing psalms. Solomon wrote some psalms. There were other writers of psalms, the sons of Korah, the sons of Asaph, Ethan the Ezrahite, couple of anonymous writers of the Psalms, but as far as we know, Moses only wrote this one we're going to look at today, and it was written about 200 years before any of the other Psalms were written. And so just like we sing songs in our worship experiences, the ancient Israelites sang songs as well, and the Psalms were used to do this. They were used to sing as they gathered for their weekly experiences. And unlike our songs of old, some of our great old worship songs, like How Great Is Our God and Shout to the Lord, and maybe the greatest worship song ever written, Shine Jesus Shine. That's a winner right there. Just kidding. It's a terrible song. Unlike Shine Jesus Shine, this song that Moses is composing here is really quite bleak. It's really sort of dark. And Moses, he writes it as he's looking back over his life, and what we see is that he's exposing a bit of his dark side in this song. But you have to think about where he's coming from when he's writing all this, because for the first 40 years of Moses's life, he's displaced from his family of origin. And then for the next 40 years, he's displaced from any type of home. I remember 40 years of wandering in the desert or wandering in the wilderness, and Moses is the leader for all of that time. And during that time of wandering in the desert, in the wilderness, about 1 million people die. He's the leader, and about 1 million people die over the course of those 40 years. So do the math on that one. 1 million people over the course of 40 years, they die. That's almost 70 funerals per day. 70 funerals per day. For 40 years of his life, Moses is surrounded by death and despair. And I think in 2020, we can sort of understand what that perspective is like. But this went on for him for 40 years. And so in this song, what he's doing is he's pondering the passing of time. Look at verse 1 and 2 with me, because Moses starts the song off like this. He says, Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Remember, he's been wandering. In verse 2, before the mountains were born, you gave birth to the earth and the world. From beginning to end, you are God. You are God. Moses says, God, you are eternal. You have no beginning. You have no end, no expiration date. You are ageless. You are forever God. And then he shifts the song away from God onto us. Look at verse 3 through 6. He says, you turn people back from dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. Verse 4, for you 1,000 years are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. You sweep people away like dreams that disappear. They are like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning it blooms and flourishes, but in the evening it is dry and withered. Now you got to keep in mind, FYI, the music for this song was originally set to Kool and the Gang Celebrate Good Times, Come On. It was like the perfect pairing for this content. I'm just joking. That's not even the case. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I mean, what a contrast that Moses is creating. God, you are forever and we are finite. God, you've been around from the beginning, but we are fragile and our time is fleeting. I mean, remember what he said? He said, verse 3, that we were made from dust, and before we know it, we'll be back to dust again. Verse 5 and 6, he says, we're like dreams, immediately forgotten. I mean, I barely remember my dreams. He says, we're sort of like that. We're like grass that withers under the hot summer sun. And then verse 10, it doesn't get any better. Here's what he says. He says, 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Moses is saying, you can go to the doctor, you can eat your veggies, you can exercise, but yet the vast majority of us will still get 70 years out of these bodies, maybe 80 if we're lucky, maybe less with the amount of chicken wings I consume on a weekly basis. Like, there's a range that we're working with here. And what's amazing is, thinking about this, as you get older, one of the observations that you make is that pretty much everybody 70 to 80 years ends up being almost exactly the same. I mean, we're born, we go to elementary school, we go to middle school, we go to high school, and then we either get a job or we go off to college. And those who go off to college, they get out of college and they get a job and catch up with those people that skip college that already had jobs. Now we all have jobs and we try to get married, and some people get married two times and some people three times. Most people have kids, our kids grow up, we retire, we start to play golf, we get sick and we die. That's sort of the story, right? Anybody know anybody that has that story? Yeah, like everyone has that story, unless you believe in reincarnation, at which point you get to do that all over again and again and again, which, no, I'm just kidding. There's no such thing as reincarnation. Now, aren't you glad you came today? This is such a pick-me-up, I know. And we don't like to hear this. We don't like to hear about our own mortality. We don't like to talk about our own death. We don't even like to think about the truth that our days are numbered. We don't like to talk about it, which I think is why the Bible seems to want to talk about it all the time. In fact, if you were to read through the Bible, one of the things that you would see is example after example and metaphor after metaphor about how short life is, because life is really short. What we learn as we read through the Bible is that life is fragile because life moves so fast. And because I can read your minds, because that's one of my gifts, I know what some of you are thinking. You're like, dude, we are seriously in the middle of a pandemic right now. Why you gotta go poo-poo on the party and make morale even worse? Why do you gotta go and start talking about death? I mean, didn't you go to another church? Can't you stay over there and talk about that stuff? Why do you gotta bring it all here? I mean, the election is sort of finally maybe over and things will start to begin looking up again, and it's gonna start blizzarding next week probably, and then we can be depressed then. Then we can get all together and maybe listen to Jimmy Eat World or My Chemical Romance or Paramore or 21 Pilots or whatever emo band of choice you like. And then we can talk about death at that point. By the way, James, I mean, shouldn't you, of all people, be preaching about life? I mean, what's wrong with you, sicko? I mean, I could have been on my cell phone, like, checking out pre-Black Friday deals already, not talking or listening to you talk about all this death. I mean, on this nice Sunday that we have, man, you got issues, James. What's your problem? To which I would say, easy. I mean, other than your clear anger management issues that you have, I do think you're bringing up a very good question. I mean, haven't we had enough of the death talk over the course of this last year? I mean, shouldn't we turn to something a little bit more happy? I mean, it's been a year focused on sickness and death in our world. I mean, shouldn't we shift our focus to maybe more positivity or more life-giving topics right now? And I think you're right. I think you're right. But at the same time, I would say to you that I don't think we can really begin to truly live. I don't think we can become fully alive until we fully embrace our mortality. I love what medical journalist Dr. Timothy Johnson said about this. He writes, he says, the meaning of life, you want to know the meaning of life? He says this, I think it's an interesting thought. The meaning of life is that it stops. We will never figure out how we should live our lives unless we fully understand the significance of the fact that it will eventually, ultimately, someday end. In other words, the secret to understanding how we get the most out of this life is not avoiding the subject of death altogether or somehow try to ignore its inevitable reality, but instead we must embrace it. As the great philosopher and theologian Tim McGraw has advised, We must live like we are dying. And that's exactly what Moses is telling us in Psalm 90. Look at verse 12. This is the money right here. This is money. Verse 12, Moses says in his psalm, he says, teach us. Remember that phrase, teach us. To realize the brevity of life. Why, Moses? So that we may grow in wisdom. I love that. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Moses says, teach us to realize the brevity of life. I love this verse because it's so rich. Another translation says it like this: teach us to make the most of our time. If you were to translate this from the original Hebrew, it would translate literally like this: teach us to number, or teach us to count our days. And I like that translation of this verse because the reality is that we all count something. In fact, states and people and nations are still counting some things, right? Even now, they're still being counted on a national level, but on an individual level, we count the Facebook friends or Instagram followers that we have. We count the number of sales that we make, or the awards we get at work, or the degrees that we have after our name. We count the number of wins in a season, which aren't very many this year for a certain unnamed team. We count the wins. We count the money that we have or that we don't have in the bank or in the stock market. We count all kinds of stuff. But what God says is that your days should be counted as well, because your days are numbered. So learn to count those days. And when you do, you will begin to make each of your days count. Don't be afraid of death, but instead embrace it. And when you do, you will eventually find life's true meaning. I mean, friends, this way of thinking isn't something that comes naturally to us. And that's why Moses says that God has to teach us how to do this. We don't do this intrinsically. We've got to be taught by God how to do this and think this way, because numbering our days drives us toward better decision making. Because when we learn how to count our days, we don't go through life counting the wrong things. When we learn how to count our days, we don't end up at the end of our life realizing we missed anything. When we learn how to count our days, we don't get to the end and realize that we failed to open the present. So, as we close today, let me just ask one last question of us here together. And the question is simply this: What is the most dangerous day of the week? Any takers on this side? Most dangerous day of the week? Monday. On this side, any thoughts? All days are equally dangerous. You guys are a quiet side. Tomorrow. It's the most dangerous. You know why? Because it never comes. It never actually comes. And many of you know this already. Many of you know this because you've been waiting on tomorrow for a long, long time. You've been saying things like, you know what, tomorrow, I'll start dealing with my drinking problem. You know what, tomorrow, I'll start tackling my mountain of debt that I have. You know what, tomorrow, I'll reach out to that person and begin to make that relationship right. Tomorrow's the day. Tomorrow is the time I'm going to slow down and spend some time with my spouse or with my kids. Tomorrow is the day I'm going to start doing some daily Bible reading, spending some time with God. Tomorrow is when I'm going to begin to try to grow closer to God. Tomorrow is the day when I will do whatever. You fill in the blank. And now you find yourself weeks or months, maybe years later, still waiting on tomorrow. But friends, here's the deal. Tomorrow is an illusion. It's an illusion. It ain't coming, because all we have is right now. All we have is today. So Let me ask you, if you knew there would be no tomorrow, what would you do differently today? If you knew there would be no tomorrow, what would you do differently today? What would you start doing? What would you stop doing? What new behaviors would you add to the mix? And as we think about that question, I want to offer you a challenge that may begin to change the way you think about time. On the welcome desk, on the way out, or if you're watching online, just go to that junk drawer, you know, the one with, you know, like the chapstick and the keys and the garage opener and like the staples, you know, the one that just collects stuff. There's some rubber bands in there, I guarantee you. But here, on the way out on the welcome desk, the corner of the welcome desk, I want to invite you to pick up a rubber band and take the rubber band and put it on your phone. Just put it around your phone. Just do this for 1 week, just 1 week. And the reason that I want to ask you to do that, to change this behavior, is because I want you to begin to think differently about your time. You see, one of the most frequent reasons that people look at their phones is to check the time, to pull out their phone to check the time. And so I want to begin to see if you can train your mind a little bit differently from asking the question from what time is it, to pulling it out, seeing this rubber band, and asking the new question, what am I doing with my time? Just to put it on there for 1 week. You don't have to do it forever, but just 1 week and try it. That as you pull your phone out of your purse, out of your pocket, that you see it on there instead of asking just what time is it, but to ask the question, what am I doing with my time? Because it may begin to point you in another direction. It may begin to refocus how you spend those moments that you have with your family, with your work, with your neighbors, with your life. It may begin to change what you do in those moments when you understand what time is truly all about. And see, that's what Moses was really getting at when he wrote this Psalm 90. He was asking God, he was saying, God, please teach us to live our one life wisely. Teach us to make the most of our time. Teach us to know that our days are numbered, to count our days so that we can make each day count. And when we do, we will begin to understand the true wisdom of Master Ugwe when he said, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift, and that is why they call it the present. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this moment, and we stand in awe of who you are. That God, you have brought us into existence, an existence here on this earth that is not unlimited, but that is limited for a very specific reason, so that we would find deep meaning in our lives. And so God, I pray as we go today that we would be a people who aren't just concerned with what time is it, but rather we would ask the harder question of what am I doing with my time, and that we would begin to count our days so that those days that we've been given begin to count. And God, I thank you that you have brought our attention to this in Psalm 90, such a strange place to find this wisdom, but we are truly thankful for it. And we're thankful most of all for Jesus, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, it was great being with you today. Just want to offer you another thought as you go. Make sure to grab a rubber band on your way out. And thank you for being here. See you back next week. Have a great week, everybody.